You are listening to Destination Church Belfast weekly podcast. You can find us at www.destinationchurchbelfast.co.uk. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. Happy listening.
Okay, so we're going to just step into our message series. Andrew referred to it already. We have a strategy for the way on for us, which is come and see. And this morning you have come to see dedication, but we hope that you've come to see some other things as well, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will reveal some things to you too. So we've been working through this message series. This is now our seventh week, and we're excited to be in this season of come and see. So this is from John 1, 35 to 39. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus walking by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following, and he said to them, "What do you want?" Then they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he replied. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. So we're saying, come and see how we do church. Come and see what small group is like. Come and see what it looks like to have a one-on-one. Come and see what relationship looks like here. Come and see what dream interpretation looks like here. And if you're a bloke, come and see what bowling looks like among us. Come and see, come and witness the presence of God among us. And we're calling our people to be bringers, inviters. And if you have a great experience here and you never come back yourself but tell others, you can tell them to come and see all you want and they'll find a warm welcome here. We've discovered that the number one reason why people don't come to church is, anybody like to hazard a guess? They're not invited. So we just need to break the sound barrier and say, you're welcome anytime. That's what I use. I'll always say you're welcome anytime, and we mean it. So last week, I want to just give a little bit of a description about last week. We were talking about come and see discipleship. And I asked everybody to look at this tree image and see what they saw. And it seemed that a lot of us, most of us, nearly all of us, were impacted by the Spirit, particularly in the ministry response. And we're enjoying his presence resident among us. And for me personally, I had a flow of words of knowledge. And Andrew and I, it was like playing tennis. That was just wonderful. Words of knowledge basically communicate from the heart of God to you that you are known, that he was there, that he has plans for you, that you've been seen. And it is just a great experience to have them released in the body of the church. So today I want to speak to you about come and see restoration. So let me ask you, I really enjoy doing audience participation, which actually in Northern Ireland shouldn't work. But it seems that it is working a little bit. Would you agree? I mean, people are actually starting to communicate. And a couple of times I've wanted to shut it down and people have still wanted to talk. Can you believe it? So when I say restoration, what do you think of? House improvements?
Big lists on the fridge.
Paul, there's going to be ministry for husbands who have had those. Claire left me when we were first married a list with tick boxes, and I did say, don't ever do that again. Because the tick boxes were just, I'm quite result oriented, so I was like, I need to be able to tick them off. Okay, so we have lists in the fridge. We have home improvements. Anything else? Forgiveness. Any others?
Healing.
Any other types of restoration?
Bringing out the good.
What were you saying? So restoring from conflict that's happened among people. Okay, and anything else?
Something being healed,
did you say? Filled. Okay. Right, well, we're going to look at this one first. What would this be? The restoration of an oil painting. And if you've ever... I paint a bit. So oil paintings get a lot of dirt and grime, and they meticulously use it must be some sort of a solvent or solution. And you'll see them, if you've ever seen them do it, they have like cotton swabs, not like cotton swabs, they have cotton swabs, and they just gently work away the layers. So there's one example of restoration. The next one is free sweets to the woman at the front, is the restoration of a building. And if anybody here enjoy power washing, I mean, it's just great, isn't it? I mean, the sheer delight of when you go over to a paving slab, and Isaac and I were doing it together, and I was like, look, you can draw your name in it. But it just looks amazing afterwards because you're restoring it from all of the dirt and the weathering and all the things that have happened. And here's my final example. Anybody know what this is called? That's great. We've had a variety of some of them, right? I'm just enjoying the different. I think we had Mintingi there. Was that one of them? So it's called Kintsugi. And it's probably, let me see the next. There you are. Kintsugi. And it means, the Japanese word literally means to repair with gold. And I have seen lots of devotionals and things on this, but I think it's really appropriate. It's likely going to be the most helpful to us as we explore what restoration is and what it means to be restored. So the meaning for the word restoration in the dictionary is the action of returning something to a former owner, place, or condition. Or the reinstatement of a previous practice, right, or situation. And then finally, the return of a monarch to a throne, a head of state to government, or a regime to power. Now, the word regime isn't a necessarily positive word in my world, but there you go. Now, the Hebrew word for restore is even more interesting. So if you look through the likes of Psalm 23:3, he restores my soul, and all throughout the Old Testament, excuse me, the word restore in Hebrew means to turn back or to return. To turn back or to return. Malachi 3:7 says, yet from the days of your fathers you've turned away from my statutes and ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. And what we're saying is there is no true restoration apart from returning to God, because he is the source of all life. So imagine if the Mona Lisa, which I'm confident it has been restored at different points, but imagine that the Mona Lisa was able to be restored by Da Vinci. Now that would be pretty interesting. What would he say about the vibrancy of the colors? He would remember, well, whether it was him or his teams, they would remember the paintbrush strokes, the colors that he mixed, how it looked beforehand, the sketch that underpinned it, maybe they painted it, the tones before, what it looked like layering up. So when we're talking about restoration, we're talking about being restored by the one who designed us and created us, which adds a whole other level to the process of restoration. John 15:4-5, remain in me, and I also will remain in you. As I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And this is the key bit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So God's the only one who knows the original design. And in 1 John 3:8, we're told the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So biblical restoration occurs when we return and we remain, okay? If you return to God and you remain in your state of returning to God, restoration is going to happen. It cannot not happen. If you return to him and remain with him, you're going to be restored, okay? Really simple. You're all staring at me. Just return. Just stay returned. And it will happen. It can't not happen if you return and you remain. And we've got to trust him. Now, here's the bit that we don't often talk about. I'm going to talk like the man rather than the pastor, but the pastor is the man. You've got to trust him if you're going to return and remain. And that's really a wee bit difficult. We were talking last week about our survival kits. So we've all survived to this point. But when we try to survive without God, then it tends to become ungodly and it can be a wee bit messy. And the process of discipleship is God going, give me that piece of your survival kit. Now, I used the example, and one of the things I did was I would have used a shield really effectively that was not very good, but it kept me safe. Then God comes along and says, put your shield down and trust me. I mean, let's be honest here. I'm not running to take his hand on that one. I'm going, no. And then I go, no, trust me. And you're like, No. And then, no, you need to trust me. And I'm like, it's not even God. It's just something I ate. And then somebody comes along and says, I have this sense that God just wants you. Like, this, you're wrapped in this protective bubble, and he just saying, you know, let me in, I'll protect you. You're going, no, I must, you know, you're a false prophet, you know, that kind of thing. It's scary, really, really scary when God says, give me that thing that you've trusted all your life. That would be really remiss if we didn't acknowledge that, because your soul's going to scream. Why do I have to do this? Nobody else has to do this. But the more that you yield yourself and trust him, the more that you'll find that he's faithful. So much has been broken, hasn't it? It's been broken in my life. What about yours? I'm confident that every single one of us has experienced intense brokenness. We've lost peace and taken anxiety instead. We've lost friends. That could be that there's been a rift, or it could be that they died. We've lost friends, family, spouses, relationships, health, children, jobs. Our dreams have been forgotten, or they've just simply been eroded, and the big break that we wanted never actually came. We abandoned ship, and we vowed that we would never, ever set sail again, and I'm standing firmly on dry ground. Anybody else got that T-shirt? And maybe we've worked really, really hard to accept that brokenness and just go, you know, I'm broken. I'm just broken. And that's the way that it's going to be. And we've learned to live from that place. And maybe, as you heard last week, as I just said, in the absence of being connected to God, the survival kit is coming really hard at you. And you think, I can't keep doing that thing. That thing that helped me once isn't helping me anymore. And I don't want to do it. And I don't know how to stop. And I don't know how to deal with it. But effectively, we come to this full stop, don't we? It's broken, it's damaged, and I've got nothing else. So I guess I just better try and put my life together and get on with it. Am I alone? So this morning, I have a gift for you. And it's a comma. Bit of a strange gift. You were hoping for money, weren't you? That's not permission for anybody to raid the little basket at the back. The gift that I give to you this morning is a comma. And do you know what happens when you have a full stop and you add a comma underneath it? This is where we find all those who would correct your emails, jumping, going, oh, oh, oh. What have you got? Semicolon. You've got a semicolon. What does a semicolon do? It's like, you know, in Friends with Chandler. What do you actually work at, Chandler? When you ask, what's a semicolon do, people go, I don't know. Maybe you're going, I know exactly what they do. Anybody want to shout out what a semicolon does to the man at the back? It can join. So a semicolon's meaning is indicating a pause, typically between two main clauses, two sentences. Sweeties for the man at the back. That is more pronounced than indicated by a comma. So a semicolon is a moment, and it's not a full stop, nor is it a comma. It's a thing all in and of itself. It's a pause. Today I want to give you hope, and it's coming through me, but actually he's not. It's not that God's over there. I mean, we live and move and have our being in him. But what he wants to offer to you this morning is hope. And it could be quite a painful thing to even consider the possibility of hoping again, because you've just actually accepted that there's brokenness and you've worked through all of that and it just still looks hopeless. And here's this guy that's dressed remarkably like a small child that he just dedicated, telling you that actually there's hope. In Jesus' name, let your stops, your full stops, become semicolons this morning. Let what seemed like the end of a sentence become merely a pause. And there's a principle in the Word of God, and the principle goes like this: birth of a vision, death of a vision, supernatural resurrection. Birth of a vision, death of a vision, and supernatural resurrection. I've seen it over and over and over again in my life. Do you want to hear a wee story? Do you like stories? A lot of you have heard this before. Angie said yes, so she speaks for you all, so you have no choice. So when we moved up here, we had a sense to come here and plant this church. And our business was in really hitting the ground like a dart. And Claire wasn't earning an awful lot of money, and it seemed like the right time to move up here. and really more convicted than I've ever been in my life, certainly at that point, that it was the right thing to do. And we went to the bank and said, listen, we want to buy this house. We simply want to port our mortgage up. And the bank went, no way. You can't even afford the mortgage that you have. And I was going, we've never missed a payment. And what's this whole issue about? And I thought, I remember getting off the phone and they were like, no, we're not doing this. And I got off the phone and I went, I am sure that I heard God right. I mean, if I haven't heard God right, I need to relook at this whole thing. And I was going, no, I've definitely heard him right. My friend messaged me and he said, I want to fight this with you. And it happened that he worked for a bank. And he said to me, I want you to argue on this point of the mortgage legislation. And the point was basically that if you will not let us move, we believe that you're treating us unfairly because you're going to add so much other costs to our lives because we're going to have to drive up and do so many things up here that we could do far better if we were in the place. So I rang them up and I said, I would like to appeal your decision. Oh, right. And within a day, they rang back and said, no problem, port your mortgage. And then after that, they said, if you'd like to port your mortgage, or you'll never port your mortgage again. And then they wrote to us and said, actually, you can port your mortgage anytime. And then we were remortgaging recently, and they said, we have on our records that actually your mortgage was, it actually started afresh again in a good sense, not in a bad sense, when we moved up here. Birth of a vision, death of a vision, supernatural resurrection. Birth of a vision, death of a vision, and supernatural resurrection. You have a choice to camp at the death of the vision. Why would you do that? Why would you do that when God is in the habit of raising those things from death to life? Joel 2, 12 to 13, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God, for he's gracious and compassionate. He's really nice. Have you discovered that about him? He's actually really reasonable. Now, he's not reasonable if you want to still do the thing that he's asked you not to do. But even at that, he's lovely in his unreasonableness at that point. He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love and devotion. And the thief, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that may have life and have it to the full. Have you ever thought about why it's in that order? Because that's what you experience first, isn't it? Steal, kill, and destroy. And then there he comes, walking towards you in your brokenness. I've come to bring you life and life in all its fullness. In Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Where the enemy told you it was a full stop, let hope come. Back to Kintsugi. We're nearly there. We want to go back to and revisit this image of the bowl restored by the Japanese art of Kintsugi, which is the restoration of the pieces of broken pottery by using gold to actually glue them together, and then the gold becomes actually a feature. It highlights and uses the places of fracture and brokenness to become a place of strength and beauty. So let me unveil myself for a minute. When I was in my early 20s, I didn't really want to be here anymore because of how much I struggled with which is the horse that's running at the minute, my mental health. I didn't know how to deal with my thoughts. I would, the thoughts that push in at you and they'd like won't go away and it feels like if you just accept them, then it's going to get easier. And then I did accept them and it got a whole heap worse. And then Dennis, who is the grandfather of DCB, said to me 3 times, hold your thoughts captive. Hold every thought captive and lead it away in obedience to Jesus Christ. And I started to do that. Because of that, because of mining that out, one of our specialities in this house is mind matters. And we know our stuff about that. I was broken. And it's okay that you see where I was broken, but the place of brokenness has now become a place of strength. I get it wrong. I stuffed up this week. I let thoughts in. I picked myself up. I said my sorries. And another little bit of gold goes on. In this house, we're transparent. In this house, we want to do real relationship. And that looks like, and I'm going to use it as an example, Angie, because Angie and I have walked quite a road together. I could go to her and say, Angie, what you said hurt me. And I value our relationship. And she can say the same thing to me. I'm not going to be offended. And we're going to prioritize love. And we're going to walk on all the stronger for it. Now the Spirit of the Lord, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the glory of the Lord are being transformed into his image with intensifying glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And as we return and remain in him, we've discovered two things. One is that we're being restored. Yes, would you agree for those who are here? I've never seen anything like it. This year, our people have gone, I am done with doing that, and I'm going to deal with my stuff. And in some cases, that has been profoundly painful, but they are changing. And it takes time. This is no one-time fix. I fell down this week on my face and hurt the people around me. I pick myself up. I say my sorries. I let the Restorer bring restoration to me, and we walk on. And once, what do you think happens when God has brought restoration to you? Your faith increases, and what then happens? You become a restorer to others, empowered by him. There's a lot of things that I can't take, and one would be someone who knows nothing about the thing that they're speaking about. Anybody else? I remember, give you a laugh, maybe slightly inappropriate, but it's good fun. Anyway, when Claire had had Anna, Claire's involved in this, and anyway, I'll apologize later, but I think, are we okay? Yes, okay. So Anna had just been born, and Anna wanted to feed Claire, it was pretty difficult at times. So they brought in a midwifery specialist, who was a specialist in teaching women to breastfeed. And I said to her, how many children do you have? And she said, none. And I thought, these nipples have had more action than yours. I photographed a business studies teacher. Andrew's staring at me. It'll be all right. It'll be okay. It's all right. I photographed a couple of business studies teachers. And I said to them quite naturally, what businesses have you run? And they went, oh, no, we haven't run any businesses. Isn't it ridiculous? Here in this place, you've walked through it. I want to hear from you if I'm walking through it. I want you beside me. I want you in the ring with me. I want to see where the Lord has restored you. Let me see the cracks that are present there that he has filled with his presence. That's what the church is meant to be. Those who have walked through it can take the hand of the person, put their arm around them and say, I know what it's like to begin holding your thoughts captive. It feels totally impossible. It's totally overwhelming. But if you just, then you will. And you can look in my eyes and I can look in yours and you know that I know what I'm talking about. When we've been restored by him, we become restorers. Could I ask the worship collective come up? And can I ask you all to stand with me? Now, hopefully you won't trip over my example. The heart of it is that in this place, we want to be transparent about our stuff with him. And we use the language for that as we lift the veil. And what that means is we are honest with God primarily about where we're at, whether it's that we're feeling insecure, whether it's that we know we're in sin, whether it's that we're addicted to something, whether it's that we deeply regret something that we did a long time ago, whatever it is, this is a safe place. And Romans 8:1 tells us that there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Like there's none. There's not any at all. No condemnation at all. So in this place, you're safe. It's a safe place for you to unveil yourself. And it's a safe place for you to respond for ministry. If you come up to the front, which I encourage you to do, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions in a moment or two to help you to respond. But nobody's going to push you. Nobody's going to yell at you. We're going to respectfully minister to you. And if you respond, you will be encountered by him. So here's my questions to help you to respond. Are you here and you've just accepted that you're broken and you've just really effectively limped your way through life? And then secondly, do you recognize that there are some things that you have used and techniques you've used to survive that you really do now need to let go of? And then finally, do you want to return and remain and be restored by God? If you can answer yes to any of those questions, please come and join us now at the front. You'll be encouraged by the amount of people that come. You'll not be on your own. We're going to worship for a time, and then we're going to minister to you. So please come and join me now at the front.
You have been listening to Destination Church Belfast Weekly Podcast. Remember to check us out at www.destinationchurchbelfast.co.uk and have a great week.